Welcome back to the Chasing Tome podcast with your host, me. That'd be Brian Wampler of Wampler Pedals. Today, Blake Weiland is back with me. We talk about all kinds of different stuff. Good conversation on this one. Let's jump back in. Hello, Blake.
Hi, Brian. How's it going?
Oh, it's been going good. I'm just going to sit here and act like we haven't been talking for the past 4 hours.
Okay, we definitely have not. Never, ever have we ever spoken before a podcast. We just go in hot with all of the fresh ideas just right at the top of our skull. We don't have to do any prep work or anything. We're just true, true professionals. That's what it comes down to.
That's true. Before I go any further, this podcast is brought to you by Starbucks. Starbucks Frappuccino.
Starbucks Frappuccino?
Yep, Starbucks Frappuccino. Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a Martinsville store brand.
It's an off brand. It's kind of like Starbucks, but it's not.
It's like 75% Starbucks. Everything else is just not quite there yet.
I will tell a trick to the audience that might like their iced coffee, because as I've mentioned a few episodes ago, I have become an intense iced coffee fan.
You have. It's true.
Like ridiculously, like that's all I drink all day long. It's bad. It's a bad habit, but it's so good. Anyways, so I've found a trick. It's a shortcut to making good iced coffee. Get you a couple Starbucks Frappuccinos from the store, which they're mediocre, but like they're okay, right? Just for a quick grab and go. But here's the trick. You got to get, they make cold brew in the coffee section of most places, most grocery stores, which is decent. You don't have to brew your own. It's decent enough. But it's cold brew, which is, it tastes and it's made differently than like you would make it with a coffee pot, okay? So it's got to be actual cold brewed. But anyway, so I keep this in the fridge and then I get my little Frappuccino thing and I add even more cold brew to it. So it's like 4 times as caffeinated.
This explains a lot. Yeah. This explains a lot of things to me right now.
This would explain why I am sweating like a madman sitting in the air conditioning.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I, and this is not on purpose, but I haven't had hardly any caffeine in quite a while. I think if I drank that, I would blast off. I wouldn't come back down for a long time. But when I did, it would be very ugly. Very, very ugly. That's my theory.
You know what they say, Blake? Quitters never win. You should have never stopped using caffeine.
Yeah, you're right. That's so silly of me. I do like caffeine. I do like coffee, and I like all that stuff. I don't know. It's this weird thing. I don't know if you've experienced this or not, but when you get like a decent amount of sleep on a semi-regular basis, it's weird. It's like your body's made to function that way. It's really a strange thing. You should try it.
I haven't noticed that lately, but I've been working ridiculously stupid hours. I basically have quit. I've just stopped sleeping at this point.
I know you have. You're texting me at all hours. Things are ugly. Your hair's falling out. I don't know what to expect anymore. It's like you're a mad scientist over there concocting something terrifying but beautiful at the same time. I don't know. I'm not sure what it is.
Yeah, pretty soon with all the craziness going on, you know all about the Florida man, you know, stuff in the news, right? Pretty soon it's going to be Martinsville man. It's just going to be me every time.
It'll just be Martinsville man. Was doing things to a goat in a, like, I don't know.
With a Starbucks Frappuccino in one hand. Yeah,
that's right. Exactly. The goat was wearing a tutu, and so was the man on his head. We can't explain any of this. We don't really know why he felt the goat needed a back scratch in the middle of Walmart, but he thought it was necessary, and he vocalized it very intensely.
Oh, yeah. I get it.
So, yeah, get some sleep before that happens. That'd be great.
I probably should, but I got stuff to do, man. Stuff to do.
I know. I know the feeling. This week's been one of those, to say the least. But I did see something the other day on a dad meme page, mm-hmm. and I know we talk about being dads and stuff a lot, so I feel like this is related.
Sure.
And it said being a dad is just your entire life telling everyone that it's going to calm down in the next 2 weeks or so, and you're really looking forward to it.
Accurate.
I'm like, that's so accurate. Like, oh, it should be better in a couple weeks. It should. Things should slow down a little bit in a couple weeks. Yeah, in a couple weeks, that sounds good. Yeah, it never happens. Just admit it.
That is highly accurate. Yep, sir. I posted a picture of, you probably didn't see it because it was just so spontaneous, but on my Instagram, I was getting ready to go into a Walmart because that's literally the only place we can go here in Martinsville. And I had this habit where I get out of the car and I'm like, oh crap, am I wearing pants?
I did see that post actually.
And so I took a picture down at my feet, and so when someone said, I'm so disappointed. I can't remember if they said they were disappointed in my shoe game or that they were impressed that I've upped. I think they were impressed that I've upped my shoe game.
They looked like nice shoes. I'm going to be honest. They look nice.
They're pretty decent. Yeah. I mean, I do joke around about, you know, having dad shoes, but for the most part, I'm kind of involved in the exercise industry, you know? Meaning that I like to give the exercise industry my money for a membership. That's really the only way I'm involved with it. But still,
you're involved though. That's
but
what
I
matters.
Am involved.
You can just tell people that you're involved in the fitness industry, and that's all they really need to know.
That's right. I'm just on the wrong side of that involvement.
I'm in the unfit industry. That's where I am.
All right. Well, let's jump into some gear talk.
Yes, I did. I want to give a big plug to somebody. I know this is not normally what we do on this show, but I had a really good experience, and I want to tell people about it.
Let's do it.
I'll try to be brief because it's not that exciting. But
no, you're fine.
I've got the Junior, as we've talked about on the show multiple times. I finally decided to replace the bridge with a Mojo Axe bridge, as recommended to me by Tom from MXPX, who it was recommended to him by Brian Bakers. So punk rockers will know what I'm talking about. But it's basically those old Juniors and stuff. They don't have perfect intonation because of the style of tailpiece that they have. And the Mojo Axe is shaped a little bit differently. Still looks kind of the same, but it's actually, if you look at it, it's machined differently to improve your intonation and all this other stuff. So I got one. And I went to put it on, and I have some Tone Pros posts in it, which lock the wraparound tailpiece at the angle that you want it. Basically, they lock it kind of flat,
right?
And the vintage ones don't do that. So, but I went to unscrew that tailpiece, and with no tension on it or anything, and the screw head just snapped off. I was like, oh, that's really strange.
Sounds like you didn't know your own strength.
Well, I wasn't tightening it. That was the weird part. So I was just loosening it to adjust it. And it snapped off. And I was like, oh, man. And I contacted them to see if I could just buy that screw. Because I didn't want to replace the... Because you have to replace, like, the actual... You have to pull the threaded inserts out of the guitar... Of some of the guitars.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't want to do that.
That's a pain. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, no thanks.
I would have taken that directly to somebody else to do, by the way. I'm not about to do that kind of surgery. But they just went ahead and asked a couple questions and sent me a whole new package. No questions asked. Like I mean, not no questions asked. They asked some questions, but
they asked some questions without asking questions. It was great.
Yeah,
it's
weird.
Fantastic.
No, but with no hassling, I should say. That's more accurate. And they just sent me some. So I have what I need to fix my guitar. And I did not at all expect that, because these are way out of any kind of warranty. I've maybe had these on the guitar for like 5 or 6, maybe even 8 years. I'm not really sure. A long time. So,
well, that
shout
sounds,
out to Tone Pros, basically, yeah, that is what, sounds I'm, like what
the,
I'm getting at.
That sounds like the type of company I would definitely want to do business with. What other types of things they sell?
It's mostly just hardware. And like, it's like improved guitar hardware is kind of the name of their game over there. So bridges and tail pieces and things like that.
Well, there you go. For those listening, if you're looking for stuff like that, check out Tone Pros. Obviously, they stand behind the product, and they are customer first focused. So that's really important. Very important,
yeah.
Especially in this
day
and
age.
And
they didn't pay us to do that either. It was just real experience.
Yeah, this is sponsored by Starbucks, not Tone Pros. So
yeah, that was kind of a nice little treat. It's always nice to get those experiences instead of the latter. And we tend to share our bad experiences more than the good ones. So right. I wanted to share the good ones.
There That's great. Go. That's awesome. So I had an interesting weekend.
Tell me more.
I was in, I drove out to Cleveland, Ohio on Friday. Was it like August 2nd or something like that? For Brad Paisley concert. Now, you one might be thinking, well, didn't Brad Paisley come to Indiana where you are? Yes, he did. I'm glad you asked. But I happened to be at NAMM at that time, and so I couldn't go to said Brad Paisley concert. Now,
you had to hang out with me at NAMM instead, which is way more exciting.
It's not nearly as exciting, I know. Oh, wait. That was that loud. Sorry, I didn't mean that.
Yeah, thanks, Brian.
So anyways... went to the Brad Paisley, when I say went to the Brad Paisley concert, like the fun part, as I mentioned before, is always like sound check and like the stuff before the concert, right? I mean, the concert's great, but I don't know. Brad's a gear guy, and so he loves talking about gear, and Dr. Z was there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so hung out with Z and another guy named Hayden Baker, up-and-coming guitar player who's freaking phenomenal. Great guitar player, young guy. Watch out for him, by the way. He's really good. Anyways, nice. So hanging out with those guys, and Brad's painting this glow-in-the-dark kind of stuff on a guitar because they have UV lights that at a specific, I think it was a specific song, they'll turn on, but they're not like overwhelming where the stage looks purple. It's just they turn on with some of the other lights, and it makes and then they turn off other lights like the spotlights, and so it makes the guitar look like it's glowing in the dark. It's really cool.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And he was just painting like it's something that you do before every show. Like it's something that washes off.
Something that most people don't know. Brett, like I said, Brad is a gearhead, and he loves just tinkering with stuff. So one of the things he's been working on is he'll take a guitar and strip the finish and everything off of it and repaint it and relic it and sell himself. Not to sell.
Oh, cool.
Just because he likes doing that sort of thing. So, yeah, he was just experimenting with a new type of paint or something that's kind of like when you paint it on, you don't see it. It's not until UV light hits it that it like actually glows.
That's so cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. So that was fun. Just, you know, shooting the breeze about that sort of thing, relicking and the guitars he's bought that he's refinished and everything in between. Talked about the music industry, the state of the music industry, and how that relates to guitar and pedal sales and amplifier sales, obviously, because, you know, Z being there. And yeah, man, it's just a good day. Good day overall. Great concert.
That sounds awesome.
Yep. And then, so check this out. So after we're in Cleveland, Ohio, like I said, so our hotel was close to Akron. Akron and Cleveland are real close together, or at least the part of Cleveland we're in is the south side. Akron is kind of right next to that. Okay. So anyways, that doesn't matter. So we're driving the hotel through Akron. And my wife says, I wonder where Earthquaker is. They're in Akron, aren't they? And I'm like, yeah, they are in Akron. It's like 2 or 3 in the morning. So we drove by Earthquaker headquarters, and they had like all the tents set up. And I was like, what? Is this Earthquaker Day? So I happened to check my phone out, and it said Earthquaker Day was like that next, you know, that day or later on that day, since this was Saturday morning. And I'm like, wow, like that's just pure coincidence that we happen to be in Cleveland, and now we're, you know, going to be here for Earthquaker Day. So we stopped by there for a little bit, hung out with Corey Juba and Andy was there, and of course, Jamie and Julie. Owners of Earthquaker, and we got a personalized tour from Jamie himself and Corey.
Wow. So
that was pretty awesome. And just, yeah, I mean, they're all such good people, you know. That's not like, and we talk about this all the time in the industry. Almost all of us manufacturers are all friends. It's not like any other industry. Like, we literally are legitimately good, you know, good friends with each other, even though we're competitors. So yeah, we just talked a lot about what we're doing and what they're doing and businessy stuff, and talked to Andy about the YouTube video game, you know, and how that's changing. Oh, yeah. And, just had a lot of fun. good. It was busy. Like, it was packed. It was, they put, I don't know if you've ever been to Earthquaker Day or not, but for those who haven't, I would highly recommend putting it on your calendar for next year, because it was a good time, man. A lot of stuff going on, and it was a cool event. Very cool scene.
Well, that sounds pretty awesome. And it kind of relates to like what I did over the weekend as well. Basically, I you can find this on Instagram. It's absolutely riveting. I took a Earthquaker Bit Commander, and I was actually practicing. I know that's kind of a weird thing to talk about, because
were you practicing your sweeping arpeggios?
No, I was just practicing playing with a beat. You know, like I just play by myself all the time, and there's no like. Yeah, sure, it's on time. I said it's on time. No, I made a really stupid video with the Bit Commander, basically. I was going to make a stupid joke about it, but you want to see a really dumb video of a Bit Commander with some cool sounds behind it. There's a video of me dropping a Bit Commander on an inflatable pool for a minute and a half. But the sounds are cool, so, you know.
This is whatever. On your Instagram, right? Tomob Instagram?
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of IGTV videos. Partially because people have been asking me to like make videos for a long time, since I always take a lot of pictures, and I'm really happy with how most of them are turning out sonically, visually they're a little weak. So I'm still trying to find my way around that. But
do you mean as far as style, or do you mean that your phone camera just looks like crap?
No, my phone camera is actually pretty good. I got the newest iPhone, and it's the camera on it is kind of insane.
Yeah, I was gonna say, so that should be pretty good shots then.
It's pretty good. It's just the content isn't that great. It's kind of boring, in my opinion. I'm trying to make it not boring. The one video I made that I thought was kind of cool and fun didn't do that well. So, you know, I'm still playing with it. But I will say this. If you put headphones on, most of them sound really good. I'm really proud. Not the playing so much, but just the sounds I was able to get on most of them sound pretty good.
So. I know with our videos that I'm in the middle of kind of reinventing, Tyler Larson from Music Is Win gave me a great hint on what to do.
Oh.
So hopefully I haven't already said this to the audience. I don't recall. But he said when he makes a video, he waits for about 3 days before he releases it. And that third day, he'll go back and watch it from front to back like a viewer. And he's like, if it doesn't hold my attention, if I don't think it's interesting, I won't release it.
Interesting.
Yeah. So he's
interesting because I've just been cranking them out. That's interesting.
He said that seems to be enough space to put, you know, from making it and editing it into, you know, you've been doing other things for the past 3 days, and it seems kind of fresh. And he's like, if it's not going to hold your interest, it's not going to hold anyone else's interest. So I was like, you know, that should be common sense to me, but for some reason I hadn't thought of doing that.
That's a good point. I've always tried to put out content that, I mean, as annoying as I think my own voice is, I always try to put out things that are at least in a style of other things that I enjoy listening to. Which is why, like, both of the podcasts that I do are super chill in the, like, laid-back department. Like, there's not an agenda. We're just going to see what comes up. Because that's what I personally listen to, you know, outside of the gear industry.
Is your podcast?
No, not my podcast. I listen to podcasts that are formatted like mine, is what I listen to. But, yeah, my podcast is quite often outside the gear industry. As much as we talk about hamburgers and things. So.
I have listened to this podcast, you know, but very seldom. Very seldom am I driving somewhere and think, you know what I want to listen to? My own podcast.
I never want to. Like, I never, ever want to. It's just like, there's sometimes, I take it back. On my show, sometimes there are ones I'm like, that guest was so good. I got to go back and listen to it. Like Richard Hoover from Santa Cruz Guitars.
Mm-hmm.
I would recommend anybody listen to that episode because the man himself is fascinating. So, you know, it's not about me type of thing. but all that going back to is like, I try to make things and put out things that I would at least be somewhat interested in. I don't like putting out things that don't hold my own attention. So that's good. I don't know why I didn't think about that with videos.
Yeah, it's that's what I've been doing for the past few weeks. Well, when I've been home, that's what I've been doing. That's what I've been doing lately.
You've been home?
Yeah. No, I'm completely kind of redoing that, man. I've been giving some serious consideration into what I'm doing with my video game, not my video games, but with my video content production, you know?
Yeah.
I need to, and I just got to change things up a little bit. Those who know me closest will know that generally I get bored of things very easily. And my videos, like, how do I put this without sounding like a jerk? My videos were boring me to make them.
Right.
You know, and they were starting to get boring for me to make them. I'm like, this is not good. This is coming. You can see this from the other side, you know? So I'm like, I need to kind of reinvent myself and take a step back and take some time off and just figure out what I want to do content wise. I've talked about this with a few other people. So I'm like thinking, have I already talked about this on the podcast? I don't recall.
I don't think we've talked about this at all. No. So, not on the air anyway.
Yeah. I always forget.
Do you have like a style or direction you're wanting to go? Like yours have always been very, for me, at least they're very informative. They got a lot of information in them. Sometimes it's your opinion, but like most of the time you're like, here's a breadboard or here's a this, and this is how it works. And I don't know how much more of that you can do that you haven't already done, you know?
Well, there's that. And there's, I mean, I don't really feel
like
that.
I feel like a creative angle might be interesting.
Yeah.
You know, like just make things that are cool for the sake of the video and the sounds itself being cool. I don't know.
Yeah, but I don't, like, I don't want to be like a product video, a product demo video type thing. It's just, I have to do that because of the business, but that's not really what I like doing. I like making content videos, but to be brutally honest, I'm kind of tired about talking about DIY stuff, even though I like it. It just seems, I don't know. It seems like that's not something that's really in the interest of a lot of our customer base and maybe what's happening inside of the guitar pedal industry right now, you know? And plus, like, it just gets old talking about diodes and capacitors, you know?
And yeah. Op-eds. And I think like you and, you know, everybody else that's really takes this industry seriously, like we're all kind of like looking beyond modded tube screamers at this point.
Right.
You know, not to be cliche, I say that all the time. I was like, it's not just a tube screamer, is it? Blah, blah, blah. But like, I'm serious because there's so many of them. It's the best example. Like, I know for a fact that you are people can see that with the Terraform, but like, most of the people that are at the top of the game in this business they're not thinking about that stuff. They're trying to go beyond that. And that it's really hard.
They are.
I can see why it wouldn't be that exciting to consider the latest tube screamer mod when you're trying to think of, you know, I don't know, some sort of crazy, you know, cross platform monstrosity. I don't know what, you know, what everybody's working
right
on, but
well, that's,
I know that they're going big.
It's that's funny that you mentioned that. I was talking to Jamie Stillman about this, and Jamie from Earthquaker, but for those who don't know. And we were talking about how really neither one of us is a big fan of putting out clones. We're just not. But when your customers consistently ask for, you know, your take on a fuzz face or your take on a big muff or your take on a tube screamer or whatever, which still in this day and age, even though there's a billion of them out there, it's still a very common question. I mean, even to me, like a common question is, which one of your pedals is closest to a tube screamer? And I'm like, really? I mean, okay. I mean, check out the Clarksdale, but there's a lot of other things I think are more interesting. But you know, you do what's right for you, boo boo. You know,
that's true. At the end of the day, it's all about whatever works for that player. Like that's the only reason to even talk about this stuff is like hopefully some of this verbal vomit that we spew out into the internet has led some people to be able to find their new favorite pedal or their new favorite whatever.
Right.
That's like my hope. It's like, hopefully somebody has gotten some stuff out of this. It seems insane that they would have, but you know, we both get messages pretty regularly, which is nice. That keeps us going, by the way.
It
Don't
does
let that stop.
And I do appreciate, especially like at NAMM or somewhere like that. You know, we're a concentrated place where there's a lot of guitar players, and they're like, "Oh man, I love your podcast," and I'm like, "You listen to it?"
Right.
Really?
it's just weird because like we see the numbers and obviously like they're going up and things are all but it's so much different when you're just like, NAMM is always a big fun one for me because it's like, here's my people. These are my people that I converse with on the internet all the time, but we only see each other once or twice a year type of thing.
Right. And podcasts are weird because it feels like a phone call. It feels just like a random phone call I'm having, you know?
I mean, yeah. Or, I mean, for me, it literally is. I'm holding the phone up to my ear and everything because I couldn't find my headphones.
But, you know, we've talked about it before. We both record audio on our end, and it ends up being a regular podcast. Apparently, the 15th best one in the music section.
Yeah, that came down since then.
I figured that had to be a mistake.
I figured it out. It changes every day. It changes constantly.
I'm sure it does.
Because like when we were there, Tone Mob was like 100 and something. And I was like, wow, this is insane. Out of all the music podcasts. And then like the next day, it was like number 3,000. I was like, what is this chart all about? And I realized it's like an algorithm. It just takes a million different data points. So it's like nobody else or hardly anybody else put out a music podcast that day or something. So it's a weird how those charts work. I haven't totally figured it out, but I get an email now once a week about it. And it's like, wow, this just jumps all over the place all the time. It's so crazy.
Hmm.
So the fact that like the bigger podcasts stay in their position for so long is I'm like, that's incredible because mine jumps around thousands of place points on a regular basis.
Wow.
So whatever.
Yeah. Whatever, Apple.
What do you know about it, Apple?
All right. So tell me about this Jazzmaster you have coming
in.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, boy. I almost glossed over that, didn't I? I don't have it yet. But this is the one I talked about. I've talked about it a couple times on the show. It's made by Carmine Street Guitars in New York City. And they make them out of what he calls the bones of old New York. So he takes some iconic landmarks. Well, not technically landmarks, so they wouldn't be getting torn down. But some very famous New York City buildings. And he gets the wood from their framing. And, you know, these are old buildings at this point. And he makes guitars out of them. That's what he does. And I've got a Jazzmaster build that's been going there for a while. And they've been very busy. They had a documentary come out about them recently, and they've been traveling all over the place for that. But I'm about to take ownership of it. I'm told it's supposed to be done this week. So I imagine I'll see it in a week or two. And I am so excited. So
is he wanting his own pickups, or are you buying aftermarkets, or how's that work?
So yeah, he doesn't do that. No, I got Righteous Sound vintage style Jazzmaster pickups in there, and a vintage style Gun Street harness in it. So some industry friends hooked me up with those because it was supposed to be my 30th birthday present guitar, but it turns out it's going to be closer to my 31st birthday present guitar, which is okay. But yeah, so it's got Righteous Sound pickups, Gun Street harness, it'll have a Mastery bridge and tremolo, and other than that, kind of like classic Jazzmaster specs with a little bit bigger neck. So I'm pretty excited about it. I've wanted a Jazzmaster for a really long time. They're some of my favorite guitars to play still, like even cheaper ones like the Squire, J-Mascus. I just love that guitar. I'm excited to finally have one.
Who's putting your G-Bender in?
You know, nobody, but I do, I want something with, I need a Bender guitar. I do need one. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. Like I need any more complication added to the instrument, but,
did you play mine at NAMM by chance?
I did not.
Wait, actually, you're right. You didn't because I didn't bring it. Sorry. I forgot. That was Sweetwater that I brought it to, but I brought my Whitfields to NAMM.
Didn't play it.
That'd be why.
I can't remember, and I'm trying to remember, Did I tell you that Amanda scared me?
No, Amanda would be my wife, but no.
Yeah, I was walking down the aisle, not paying attention, like looking at my phone or talking to somebody or something. And I don't know, I don't remember what she did, but all of a sudden she was just there. And I like jumped. That's all. She was just in my grill all of a sudden. I was like, ah! Oh, hi, Amanda. How's it going? I've never been that scared in public before.
So did she have a knife?
Thanks for me.
She have a knife in her hand by chance? Like, you know.
Not that I saw, but like there's, not, I guess there's a good chance.
Not going to stab you and how dare you? No, I don't know. I really don't know why she would do that unless you made her mad.
Because she's tired of me talking to you on the phone for 4.5 hours every week. Maybe like he has things to do. Get him off the phone.
He's got to make pedals and you're bugging him. No, I'm kidding.
No, she's awesome. She's just, it's funny. We don't get to talk all that often, but when we do, we always seem to make fun of each other for some reason. But I'm not really sure how we've developed that relationship, but it's also quite enjoyable.
Did you saw the pictures that I sent you of our garage floor, right?
Yeah, so sparkly. So shiny. So it's almost like a fairy coated it with something.
Yeah, so to the listeners, recently we put what's that garage floor coating called?
Like epoxy or whatever.
Epoxy, that's the word I'm looking for. Thank you. We put epoxy on our garage floor, and it comes with like a little bit of flakes that, you know, you get to put in it to add color so it's not just gray. Well, as you know, Blake, my wife likes glitter. She likes making she likes making cups. Like she'll take tumblers and then do glittery stuff, and she sells those on Etsy. And she saw this as her opportunity to glitter our entire garage floor.
I'm sure she did. I'm sure she did.
So our garage floor looks how would you put this? It basically looks like a bunch of glitter just scattered all over it. And as such, it mostly stayed in, but some of it didn't. But there's so much glitter that it's always tracked all the way throughout the house and all the carpets. It's on the couch. It's everywhere. So like
I'd move.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. There's doesn't matter how many times you sweep it, like you never get it all. And then the next time you walk to the house, there's another trail of glitter. So I was telling her, I'm like, you realize that forever this house is going to have a ton of glitter all over it in every crevice. She's like, I know, isn't it fantastic?
Yeah, I think it's just time to burn it down and claim insurance money. That's just what you're down to at this point. There's no way you're going to escape it at this point.
I think that would qualify as some type of an illegal offense, maybe insurance.
No, that's just what you do. Yeah. No, that's just fine. I got a buddy, he used to be in insurance. He's doing some time now, but he told me it was fine. Like It's unrelated. It's not related to the insurance. That, I mean, I don't have to explain to you, but just trust me on this one. It'll be fine.
I don't think so. No, but she does do some finishes on her tumblers that I think would be really cool on a pedal.
Thought about? Oh yeah.
Yeah, I thought about. Actually, I have 4 or 5 pedals here that are all custom built. I think I'm going to sell them, but I think before I sell them, I think I'm going to have her paint the enclosures.
Have them glittered up.
She does a couple different things. The one that I really like, she makes it look like wood. She's got special inks and dyes. Oh,
you sent me a
dyes.
Picture of that. That yeah. does look cool.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do that on them.
Those are cool. Like, I was like, is that wood? That's not wood.
Yeah, it looks like wood, but it's inks and dyes and I don't know, whatever magic grease stuff she puts in there. I don't know.
Magic grease.
So.
All right. I had something else I wanted to bring up, and honestly, I can't remember what it was. It was like super guitar related too, but I can't remember. It's not that important.
Was it about 80s guitars like Jackson, Charvel, Kramer, BC Rich, etc.?
No, but we can talk about those if you want.
Oh, nothing really important. I just noticed that I'm seeing more and more people that are playing like Jacksons and Charvels and now Kramer again and all that sort of thing. And I don't know. I mean, they look nice. I loved them back then. I used to have a Kramer. I know, you know, Grover Jackson's a friend of mine, but I don't know. I don't know if I'm quite into them. I don't know if I'm into them enough to buy one.
I'm super into it. for like, you know how we were talking about earlier, maybe I can't remember if it was on the podcast or not, but like, I've just embraced the fact that I like certain things that, that hipsters like, and therefore maybe I'm a little bit of a hipster. I'm just okay with it at this point. It's just part of who I am as a person.
Is there like a club that you have to pay a membership fee to in order to know what to like and that sort of thing?
No, I think I just feel like, you know, I like craft beer and flannels and beards and coffee and vinyl records and all that stuff. And honestly, I think some of the pointy, more, you know, shreddy 80s style guitars are kind of coming back as a little bit of a nostalgic hipster revival thing. Because I'm not seeing them. Yeah, like metal guys never really stopped playing Jacksons, right?
True.
They pretty much have always played them. But I'm seeing like more not metal guys playing these guitars than metal guys.
Right.
Not more, but like that's who seems to be adopting some of like the pink Charvels and things like that. And it's appealing to me too. Like I grew up in the 90s, so neon colors were what everything was about. It like reminds me of my childhood in a weird way. So I could see myself with a outrageously colored shredder guitar with a, you know, a Kaler on it or something at some point. But I don't know what these modern versions, if they still have the flat shreddy necks, that's not my thing. So that could be a little bit of an issue for me attaining one. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, but
I like the aesthetics now. I get why they went away. I get why they're like, they were really cool at the time. Then they became uncool. And now I think it's a thing of like, what was once uncool is becoming cool again. And there again, going back to the hipster thing, which I don't mean in a negative way, because I identify with it. So
I do like a lot of different fluorescent colors, but to me, that reminds me more of, you know, my 80s BMX and skateboarding days, because I was around, you know, I did play guitar in the 80s, and because I'm older than you. And I have to say, a lot of the cheaper guitars back then pretty much sucked compared to cheap guitars today. I know, you know, we give a lot of companies, I don't know, I don't want to say we give them grief, but we look at them, we kind of look down on them. But man, there's been a lot of $200 or $300 guitars I played that I thought, oh my gosh, this is so much better than anything entry level based back in the 80s I was playing, you know?
Oh yeah. Even in my time frame, like you just said, you're a little older, but like even in my time frame, the guitars were not as good. The entry level guitars when I started playing were not nearly as good as they are now. You know, I mean, saying across the board, like as a whole, they're right. Much better than they used to be. Not all of them are great, but some of them really are great. That Squire J. Maskus, well, it's not exactly entry level, and it's not the type of shredder guitar we're talking about. It's still a Squire. That thing's phenomenal. It's a great guitar. It's awesome.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's like I've got a Squire Strat that I love. I just love it. And
they set their game up. That's all there is to it.
And someone gave it to me.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I forgot about that thing. Ryan's favorite Strat.
Yeah. All right. So that's a good place to end today's episode, I think. We'd like to thank Starbucks Frappuccino for sponsoring this particular episode. Not really sponsoring it, but I did buy their product and drank it during it. So
I think that's the opposite of a sponsorship.
Yeah.
I think that's like you just giving them money.
Yeah. It's not. Yeah. It's not really supposed to work that way, is it?
No.
Huh.
Not like what Charvel paid us the big bucks for this one.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but seriously, and big shout out to Tone Pros as well. Good job, dudes and dudettes.
Absolutely.
I don't know if 100%. It's guys that work there, women, but to all involved, good job.
All right, talk to you next week, huh?
See you later.
Bye.
And thank you so much for listening to the Chasing Tone podcast. I really appreciate it. If you have any comments or questions, you can email podcast@wamplerpedals.com. Make sure if you haven't yet, we would really love it if you could leave an iTunes review. That helps others see whether they would like to listen to us or not. I know the format's changed quite a bit over the years, but hopefully you still like it. And I would love to hear your thoughts on whether you do or not as well. So you can email me that too. But thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week with a new, fresh new episode. See ya.